And greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Thank you for inviting me into your home. And in these days of trials and troubles and difficulties, the thing that we need to understand most of all is the love of God. Many people have wondered, does God love me? Does God care for me? Does he even know that I exist? The answer is yes. God does love you. He's shown it in his word. He's shown it in his laws and commandments. Now let's come to Matthew 22. And let's answer the question, because we need to see there is a connection between the laws and commandments of God and the love of God. And these things are important for us to understand, because you cannot have the love of God without the law and commandments of God, and you cannot have the laws and commandments of God without the love of God. Because you see, if you have only the love of God, then it becomes an emotional thing within your heart and within your mind, and it's like a bowl of Jell-O. It has no stability or strength to it. If you have only the law and commandments of God, then it becomes like a whipping rod, especially with the way that men interpret it and bring law upon people. And sometimes so much in the name of the Lord that you wonder, where's the love of God? And this is what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, that you tithe of every little thing, but you have passed over and overlooked faith and the love of God. And faith and the love of God is what you should have done, not overlooking the little things. But what we're going to see is this. The commandments of God are based upon his love. As a matter of fact, everything in the Bible is based on the love of God. And the New Testament teaches us that God is love. But also, it teaches us that God is lawgiver. And so you need the two together to make the perfect formula. Now, we'll cover about the grace of God and how that fills in with it too. Because you cannot have grace without law. That's an impossibility. But we'll reserve that for another message. Matthew 22, verse 36. Jesus was asked this question by one of the scribes, one of the doctors of the law, because there's always an argument, which is the greatest commandment of all? And so Jesus answered it. So here's the question. Which commandment is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, is that how you approach the laws and commandments of God? See? Is that how you approach God? What is God for most people? Well, God is way out there, and he's not close to the earth, and he doesn't care about me, or God is something I don't want to think about because that'll strike my conscience, because I know I'm not living the way I ought to. So they forget God, put him out of their mind. But you see, notice what it says. Let's read that again. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that a relationship with God is a full-time endeavor. This tells us that if we love God in this way, then we are fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, and we're fulfilling our purpose to God in his life. And that brings us into a relationship with God based upon love. Because as we will see, love is the greatest. Paul wrote, "There remains faith, hope, and love, but love is the greatest." Because love sees us through every trial and difficulty. Love draws us close to God in prayer and in study. Love means that we're willing to absorb and learn the ways and truth of God. And it also means that we direct our lives internally, because the new covenant is to have the laws of God written in our hearts and in our minds. And what this does, this gives us a true dedication to God, a true spiritual relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And with that, then, we receive the grace of God. And one of the first things of the grace of God that we receive is his love. Now, if we're loving God, as Jesus said, with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, and this is the first and great commandment, how is this to affect our behavior? Does it mean that we become super sweet and sanctimonious? Does it mean that we only think in ethereal, platitudinous thoughts of high levels of love? No, the highest level of love from God results in a practical thing, which continues on right here. Jesus said, the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that in itself requires probably two or three whole messages in itself or more. See, it comes as a practical expression of the way that you live your life, and it's also called in the Bible the fruits. See, because every life has fruits, good or evil, mixture of good and evil. But if you want the evil removed, then you have to love God, and you have to repent to God, and you have to ask him to help you overcome the sin, and God will be there to do it. Now, notice what it says, continuing. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, you need to think about that. Because, you see, you cannot separate the laws and commandments of God from the love of God, and you cannot separate the love of God from the law and commandments of God. But most people want to have it their way. Most people want to go to God and tell him what they're going to do. Now, you see, that's just the opposite, because if you go to God and tell God what to do, you need to ask the question, who is God? Will God honor the lies of people who say you don't need the laws and commandments of God? Of course not. Even though they may say they're sanctified, even though they may claim that they're ministers or elders or priests or popes or potentates of God, but they're not. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Because here is what is called in the Bible the second giving of the law. And as a matter of fact, Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. This is a restating of the law that God gave to the children of Israel right after they came out of the land of Egypt, and he spoke the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, which then they, in turn, didn't obey God. And they were punished for 40 years wandering in the wilderness. So now here's the new generation ready to enter into the promised land which God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he gave the Ten Commandments. Now, let's see what God says, because After they heard the voice of God and all the thunder and lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the earthquake and all of the smoke and all of that because of God's presence was on the top of Mount Sinai, the people said, "Moses, you speak to God and we'll hear you. Don't let us hear the voice of God anymore, lest we die." And so Moses is recounting that. And notice what he says. And I want you to think about this as we read these words, as we go through and look at some of the commandments and laws of God. I want you to think about this in your life. See, because God expects us to open our minds and our hearts to Him and love to Him. God expects us to keep His laws and His commandments with a willing heart, with a willing attitude. Now let's come here to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 28. "And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They have well said all that they have spoken.'" They were well-intentioned. They said, "Yes, we'll listen to Moses." But did they really? You read the history of Israel. You read the accounts in the Bible, and that's why they are there. But no, they did not. Why? Let's see what God said. Verse 29, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, so that it might be well with them and with their children forever." You know, the Bible tells us that God does not even delight in the death of the wicked, though he has to judge them. Why? Because God is more interested in repentance and turning to him. God is more interested that you turn to God to receive his love and in turn love him back and in turn make that part of your life and how you live, and it affects all the people around you. It affects your relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your neighbors, and everything. But you see, it's not natural to want to keep the laws of God. Human nature is contrary to the laws of God. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8 and verse 7, it says, "The carnal mind," which means the mind that we have, flesh, without the Spirit of God, "is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be, because it is enmity against God." Now, what does enmity mean? You see, most people who think that they're doing right and good, and maybe you are doing many things right and good, maybe you're like the children of Israel here, who are well-intended. And you're endeavoring in your life to improve yourself and do better and get ahead and make things better for your family and for your children and for your parents and for others around you. But is there more to it than that? Yes, there is. There has to be an understanding of the laws and commandments of God, and there has to be a change of heart. So God told the children of Israel, though they were well-intended, that without his Spirit in them, that they didn't have the heart to do what they intended to do. Now, do you find that in your life? When you intend to do good, doesn't come out that way? Rather, you end up doing evil instead. And so you're conflicted, and what should I do? How should I handle it? Everyone is confronted with that. Because, see, we have a sinful nature within, and that must be changed, and that can only be changed with the love and the laws and commandments of God and with conversion through repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit of God. And that, in a summary, is the first steps toward salvation. Now let's read what God said here after he said, "All that they have spoken, they well have well spoken." Verse 29, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always so that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That's what God wants. And when you think about it, we're in the mess that we are in our personal lives, in our relationships with each other, in our national lives, and the whole world, because they will not keep the commandments of God. God gave them so it would be well with them forever. Notice what else he said here. Verse 30, he continued on, "Go say to them, go into your tents, but as for you, you stand here by me, and I will speak all the commandments and statutes and judgments which you shall teach them." And that's what's wrong with the world today. There's no one really teaching the commandments of God the way that they should, see. And no one really teaching about the commandments of God in the New Testament the way that they ought to be. Very few. Some are trying. Some are doing a fairly good job. But compared to the majority of people in the world, where are they? It's like looking for a molecule in a sea. Now continuing, teach them, that they may do them in the land which I'm giving them to possess it. Just like here in America, we receive the bounteous place of the whole earth. And look, in 200 years, what we've done to it. And all because of the same attitude right here. Though they were well-intended, though they had some of the Word of God, very few were willing to go 100% for God. And that's what it means to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Let's notice another warning that God gave, which is why we're in trouble where we are today. Verse 32, "And you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand." And it says in another place, "You are not to add to it and you are not to take away from it." But isn't that what has happened? By saying the whole Old Testament has been done away, you've taken away the whole Old Testament, correct? And what has happened? People have left God while they think they're serving God. An amazing conundrum, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Verse 33. Let's see why God gave the laws and commandments of God. Because, you see, there are even some Christian preachers who say, the law of God is a curse. Well, God who made us in his image, who loves us and cares for us, why would he give a law to curses? See, the truth is, the law is not a curse, but transgressing or sinning against God by breaking his commandments brings on a curse. Just like if you hold something in your hand and drop it to the floor. The law of gravity pulls it down, right? Yes. Automatic. Isn't that true? Yes. Well, think of all the laws and commandments that they're the same way. Just like the law of gravity. So if you take any of the Ten Commandments, which is, have no other gods before me, make no graven image of any likeness, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And when you go against any of these, there is a penalty. Automatic. So that's why, in keeping the commandments of God and loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, you also need to understand the reason for the commandments that God has given, for our good. I want you to think about this, that if this whole nation followed the love of God and the Ten Commandments of God and all the other statutes necessary that are subdivisions of those, would not our nation be an entirely different place? Sure it would. That's what he was telling the Israelites here, verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live. Not be cut off because of sin, but live. And that it may be well with you. Does that sound like a curse? No, we'll cover later what the curses are in sinning against God. That it may be well with you and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now that's why God gave these things. That's the reason behind the laws. Not to curse the Jews, not to curse anyone, but to bring them out of the curses. Let's go on to chapter 6. Because originally, before the Bible was divided into chapters and verses, this followed right afterwards. Verse 1, chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. And add into that the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, so that your days upon the earth may be long. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to know that he loves you. God wants you to know that his commandments are good and right and true and holy and for your good. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, and be diligent to observe it, so that it may be well with you, and that you may greatly multiply as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. But isn't that what it has been said of America? A land that flows with milk and honey, yes. Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Oh, New Testament teaching in the Old Testament, right? Yes, because there is a unity of Scripture. And they are meant to go together. Then he also says, and you shall diligently teach them to your children, and shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Isn't that something? So what have we done? Remove God from the churches, remove God from the schools, remove God from the government, say his commandments are done away, and then we sit and wonder, why are we in such a mess? Well, when you throw away as worthless something that is perfect, there's bound to be some kind of consequences, don't you think? Let's come to Psalm 19, and let's see what God tells us about his law. What it is also intended to do, because you see, this helps you understand the love of God, because God has actually given these things to us in his love, because he loves us, because he cares for us. So this is why God gave the laws and commandments of God. It is an expression of his love. That's why Jesus said, on the love of God hang all the laws and prophets that are contained in the Bible. Now, it's for our own good. All right, let me ask you to go ahead and download the article, How Did Jesus Fulfill the Law and the Prophets? What is the truth of it? And in fulfilling, did he do away with it because he fulfilled? What was it that he fulfilled? Now, you also need to understand something about the word fulfill in the Greek, which means this. It means to bring to completion, to fill to the full. And as we have seen, that's exactly what Jesus has done, where he showed how we are to keep the laws and commandments of God in the Spirit. And in truth, and with a pure heart. So how did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? And also, companion article, did Jesus Christ's sacrifice bring an end to the law? What does the Bible teach? What does Jesus show? What does the New Testament writings of the apostles teach us? Now, we also have a whole series of all the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul concerning the law and commandments of God. Now, you need to download each one of those and check them out with the Bible. So this is why that you need to study your Bible. This is why church at home, so that you can take your Bible, you can read it, you can study it, you can compare the things in the Bible, you can change your life, you can see what is good and right, you can see how, in the midst of all the trouble that's around us, God loves you, God will bless you, God will forgive you, God will be in your life, and you can establish a relationship with Him. Now, let me encourage you, before we close here, to go to our website, cbcg.org, which is Christian Biblical Church of God, which is dedicated to restoring the true teachings of Jesus Christ and the true original apostles through their writings. So this is Fred Colder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. I hope that you draw close to God and receive the blessings which come from Him and the truth that comes from God. So until next time, so long, everyone.